So my mom even is a great example. Every time I run a marathon, she says, "I just worry about your knees."
Diz Runs Radio, episode 479, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. One of the most frustrating scenarios that runners can face is feeling like you're on the verge of a breakthrough, that you're getting faster, you're running farther, you're doing the things that are moving you closer to your goals, and then injury happens. If you guys have been listening to the show long enough, you know that injuries are definitely my jam, something that I know a few things about, and it's certainly something that I like to think is one of the main focuses of what I do as a running coach. Now, obviously, not all running injuries are preventable, and some of my clients, sadly, still have to, you know, deal with the occasional injury setback. But if you feel like you are on the injury roller coaster more than maybe you should be, let me know. Let's talk, because maybe what you need to do to get off of that injury roller coaster is to work with somebody who can help design your training and help you to be doing some of the, both from the running side of things and from the you know, the little things, the non-running side of things, some of the intelligent things, to make sure that your body's ready, you're not doing too much, and you can, you know, make that consistent, continual progress towards your goals, which is ultimately, you know, what it takes to be successful as a runner, is that consistent training day in, day out. Well, not day in, day out, but you know what I'm saying, over time, months and years, to really make that progress. So if injuries, if you just are dealing with too many injuries, let's talk. Maybe I can help you. Dizruns.com/coaching has all the information about the coaching that I provide. And near the bottom, there's the links to the coterie, to one-to-one coaching, to the different levels that I have. You can do all your research, all your information. If you have any questions, let me know. But stop dealing with injuries all the time, really, is what it comes down to. So anyway, after that little commercial for myself, why don't we go ahead and get started with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, if you regularly read running blogs, odds are you've come across my guest site at some point. She's quite literally one of the OGs of the run blogging community. Her website has thousands of posts on a variety of different running and related and health type of topics, and I've even been lucky enough to write a little guest post for her back in the day about returning to running after dealing with a stress fracture. Honestly, she should have made her appearance on this show years ago, but it's now time to right that particular wrong and officially welcome Ms. Amanda Brooks to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Amanda. Appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Ah, good, good. Well, hopefully you'll be happy you were here when it's all said and done. But before we dive in and officially get started, guys, if you haven't checked out Amanda's blog yet, which, like I said, you probably have and maybe didn't even notice it or didn't know it, but the website, the URL is runtothefinish.com, and she's on all things social, all the platforms, basically, and the handle is the same everywhere. Across the board, makes it easy. Everything is just Run to the Finish, all one word jumbled together. Put it in the search bar or, you know, twitter.com or whatever, all the different places at Run to the Finish. And if you want links to anything that we talk about today, her site, obviously, her social media handles, and anything that we reference that makes sense to link to, we'll have those plugged into the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/479. So, Amanda, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it's whatever the polar opposite of simple and straightforward would be. But it's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
So I'm not one who does a ton of races. I love running purely for running, which is strange for a lot of people. They're like, wait, you can just run hundreds of miles with no particular goal. But I do love the half marathon. And I think it's because I tend to pick races that I get to travel to. And so the half is sort of that sweet distance where you feel like you've justified your travel. Mm-hmm. You can run it hard, but then still have an actual vacation.
Yeah, that's true. There's something about doing some of those destination marathons where if you're going out there to try to hammer it, like, yeah, you're kind of out of luck for the next couple of days, or you've been on your feet doing traveling and doing vacation for a week before the race, and so then you're not well rested and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yes, my husband has definitely made the request that I stop asking him to do vacations around marathons.
it doesn't work out too well for everybody.
No.
So, you know, like I said in the beginning, you've been in the running blog arena for quite some time. I noticed from looking through the website, and you know, you can get lost there. So be careful. Start clicking around on your website, and you might never come out. But you've been running for a good number of years. How did you get started in the sport? Was it something that has always been part of your life? Did you stumble upon it at some point? You know, high school, college, something like that, or how'd you come into this sport that we all know and love?
Yeah. So I have always been into sports, but I literally would fake knee injuries to get out of running, which is ironic since I just had knee surgery and they're doing everything they can to keep me from running.
Right, of course.
So no, I loved sports and I loved being active, but anytime we ran, it was because we were being punished. So you were late to practice, or, you know, you did something wrong at practice. It was never something that was supposed to be enjoyable, and so I didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then my junior year of college, a group of friends decided they wanted to do a road trip to run the Rock and Roll Nashville Half Marathon. And that was all it took, the words road trip. I was like, oh, sure, I can run 13 miles. And I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't run 13 miles when I said I could, but I just kind of started doing it. And the minute I crossed that finish line, something like a little over 2 hours, I just had this immense feeling of pride that I did something that was hard and I chose to do it for me. Nobody made me do it. I didn't have to do it. I could have walked whenever I wanted. But I did it because I chose to, and that was kind of what stuck with me. So that's been 15 years now, and I just kept kind of going from there, and I still have that same mentality. It doesn't matter whether I finish 26 miles or I just go out for a mile run. I don't think running is the easiest thing for me. I don't think it ever will be, and so I still have that same feeling of, that's pretty cool. I chose to do that.
That's awesome. So the intro was a little bit of peer pressure and a little bit of an adventure. At what point did it become something where, you know, like you said, I mean, you can go out and run and do 40, 50 miles during the week and not have a race that you're training for, which for some folks can be kind of a blasphemous type of statement. So where did, you know, when did, Was it a switch? Was it a gradual progression? How did you get from, I'm going to do this and I don't know if I can, but whatever, and it was a great accomplishment, to I want to do this as often as I can?
You know, it was almost right away. Mm-hmm. So after that race, I was pretty consistent almost immediately with running, and I didn't do a race again until I did that exact same one a year later. And from there, it just kind of stayed that way. So I have a, as most runners do, a running log. And for a long time, it was just on a calendar till we finally got digital. And it's been interesting to see. I was averaging for almost 10 years, 1600 miles a year. And I might run one or two races a year. So it kind of immediately for me became that. And probably also because if I would race, I would tend to have a goal for it. And at some point that would start to suck the fun out of running for me personally. A lot of people, that's what drives them and makes it fun. And it's fun to coach those people. But I don't always need that. So it's good to have a goal once in a while. And then other times I just want to run because of how running itself makes me feel. It makes me creative. I mean, this knee surgery has made me a little insane because I feel like I can't think straight without my runs.
Yeah. I think there's more than a few people that can resonate with that. I know, there's been a few cases, thankfully not many recently, but there's been a few cases where I, you know, for one reason or another, I don't get to run for a few days, and my wife will just send me out, like, just go, just yeah. Go get a couple miles in. It may not be much, but just come back in 20 minutes and be a normal person again. So I understand how being forced to not be able to run could mess with you a little bit.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Sorry. And I think super important, because I have mentioned knee surgery, is to point out that it was not caused by running.
Right. And that's exactly kind of where I, you know, since it's come up already a couple of times, I figured that if you're okay with it, let's dive into that a little bit. So you just took that part of it out, which is good, because I think we've all of us that are runners, no matter how long we've been running, we've heard the, oh, you know, you shouldn't run because it's terrible for your knees, or I can't run because I have bad knees, so I can't do it.
Yes.
So, can talk on that myth a little bit. What is your response to somebody who you come across at some point or another that maybe doesn't know, you know, the depth of your running experience and how long you've been at it, and they're just like, oh, you're a runner, I can't do that because my knees are bad, or gives you the other, you know, don't do it because it's going to ruin your knees, and then we'll maybe dive into the specifics of your injury a little bit more.
Sure. So my mom even is a great example. Every time I run a marathon, she says, I just worry about your knees. So I have on the website written a number of articles pointing to the science that says, and I asked when this knee injury happened, and the orthopedics agree, there is no greater incidence of arthritis or anything like that in runners versus non-runners. Mm-hmm. And the science definitely shows those who have been running tend to have better joints and better mobility, because running actually forces your joints to create that lubrication. Mm-hmm. So it actually is better for you. Obviously, the caveats here are having decent running form, mm-hmm. And knowing what you're doing. So if you're running with horrible form, yes, you're going to injure yourself. That's always my caveat, but science has in no way shown or proven that running is detrimental to our joints.
Right. And the other caveat that I would throw in is, don't do too much too quickly. Like, you need to build up
Yes.
at an intelligent level. And if you don't know that, if you're new to the sport, you don't know what the intelligent level, there's all kinds of resources. There's coaches, there's books, there's the whole nine. But gradual progress or incremental progress is what you want to aim for.
Yep, absolutely. And so I actually did have knee surgery in high school for some torn cartilage. And that was when I played volleyball and all that kind of stuff. And then I've run for the last 15 years with no knee pain whatsoever. And then one day after bombing down the trails, I noticed that my knee was very swollen and I couldn't straighten it anymore. And it took a good 8 months of different doctors trying to MRIs and stuff to figure out what to do, because they didn't think there was anything there blocking it, but I just could not straighten my leg. So of course, being a runner, I found all the KT tape solutions so that I could keep running. And eventually I was like, listen, you guys just have to go in. We have to figure this out. And sure enough, there was a little piece of meniscus and a little piece of cartilage that were blocking the knee and likely caused. So it's not caused by just running itself, but you tear your meniscus when, you know, if you think about doing like a quick cut in basketball. Mm-hmm. So it's that moment where you push down and your knee goes one way and the rest of your leg goes another way. And it just creates that little bit of shearing force. So it's not that running inherently mm-hmm. hurts your knee. It's that you've stepped in a pothole and crap happens, you know?
Right.
So we found that, and then while they were in there, because they decided they were already in there, they did a little bit of a kneecap realignment, and that's what's sort of slowing down my recovery a little bit. It's one of those things where you hear a lot about runner's knee, and I certainly have done tons of PT consistently over the years to make sure I don't have issues with that, and so I had built up all the muscles to kind of manage how my body was naturally moving my kneecap, but they figured while they were in there, they would get it into the appropriate alignment to help with any cartilage wear. So it's not something that you, runner's knee is not something that you generally would need surgery
right.
for. And I think that's important for a lot of people to realize too, is most of the time when we have knee pain, it tends to be because we're really weak in our glutes, or our hips are really tight from sitting all day. And it usually doesn't take a ton of just doing some of those little physical therapy moves, and that pain usually goes away.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something that certainly with my background in sports medicine, athletic training, and whatnot, it's something that maybe I almost take for granted sometimes. That you know, obviously not everybody has the same background that I have, but it's like you can just some little things, and it doesn't require going to the gym for hours a day, and it doesn't require all kinds of equipment, but like things that you can do, and you know, maybe the audio version isn't the right way of trying to describe everything. Maybe that's more of a video type of thing, and there's obviously all these resources are out there, but like stuff you can do sitting on the floor with when you're playing with your kids or when you're watching TV or whatever the case might be, these little, I call them the little things, these little exercises and whatnot that really goes a long way towards maybe not injury proofing completely, but certainly dramatically reducing the risk of a lot of those common injuries that we hear way too many folks in the various running circles we have that are always dealing with, you know, plantar fasciitis and shin splints and runner's knee and IT band issues and all these things that, just a little prevention really goes a long way.
Absolutely. I finally put out an IT band ebook because that seems to be the number one issue. And I had it at one point myself, and I did, you know, the runner thing where I went into the marathon knowing that it had been kind of hurting, but darn it, you're a runner and you'll be fine. And it flared up at mile 13. I was dragging my leg at nearly like a 30 minute per mile pace, but I was so determined to finish. And so I finished. And then I was unable to run for 6 months. So I know what that IT band is. But after that, I dug into the research. I questioned every physical therapist, and I started doing, like you said, just a few little things every day. And I didn't have a flare up again for 10 years. Or if it would start to feel tight, I would add in just a couple more exercises and it would always go away. And I think that's kind of the key for runners, is just as we're consistent with running, we have to realize that those little things require consistency to be effective too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're lucky that yours didn't flare up until mile 13, because I had the same type of situation where during those last couple of weeks of training, like it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And so I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going to pretty much lay low for the whole taper. Like I'm hardly going to run at all, maybe just a mile or two, and then, you know, hope for the best. And, but actually for me, I think it was almost, it may have been that the one that I was so worried about, like I was rolling it and doing all the things and it was holding up. But then the other one, because of compensation, you know, went and by mile two and by about mile 14, like I was pretty much just at a walk. Like I could hardly run at all. So that was not my finest day, but, certainly something that, you know, like you did and like I did as well, you learn from that and you make those adjustments and, you know, I'm not even going to knock on wood. I'm confident that like since then, and it's been 6 years, I haven't had, other than maybe just a little like, oh yeah, maybe I should reincorporate a couple of these things back in the routine, but I haven't had any IT band issues since then. So all that to say, instead of dancing around the topic and say, you know, do some of these things and this and that and the other to help prevent them, what in your experience and in your, you know, have you found that are some of those simple exercises for folks that have no idea where to start? Obviously they can come to the website and get the ebook, but a couple of suggestions, what things work for you when it comes to preventing IT band specifically, IT band issues?
So one that I love is the lunge matrix. And so it's, you know, lunging to the side, the front, doing like a curtsy lunge. And then there's another one where you're kind of pointing your toe a different direction. And that just seems to sort of hit that whole area from a number of different directions, partially because we always are just moving forward. Mm-hmm. That one, and then another one that I love is when you're laying on the ground and you pull one knee in tight to your chest and kind of do a very small glute bridge with the other leg. And it's because that actually activates the glute medialis, so the one that we do not use very often, and it's really hard to trigger it. And I think I have both of those described on the blog somewhere as well. I'm sure if you search IT band, you'll find a ton of exercises. And then one other one that I do pretty consistently is using a band around the ankles and just kind of doing some of those side to side, forward, back walking. And so it's nothing that's crazy. Like I might do a round of the lunge matrix as part of my dynamic warm-up, and then a couple times a week do the other moves. I do foam roll consistently every day, but I do not foam roll my IT band. And so that's kind of an interesting one. If you start reading the stuff that's out there, you really shouldn't be actually foam rolling your IT band. It's a little bit like if you have a bruise and you just keep poking it. Mm-hmm. So the IT band itself might be tight, but it's usually because of things around it. So the focus is more on how can I loosen up my quads? How can I loosen up my glutes and my calves? Oh my gosh, you got to get your calves.
Yes.
Horribly painful on the foam roller, but loosening all of those things is then what kind of allows your IT band to let go. But just sort of hammering away at it often makes everything worse.
Yeah, that's and it's not comfortable, as anybody who's foam rolled the IT band knows. It's not comfortable. And to expand on that just a little bit more for folks that aren't aware, I mean, your IT band, it's just basically a big thick tendon. The muscle's up in your hip. So when you're trying to loosen, like, you're not really loosening the tendon. You want to relax the muscle. So yeah, if you're rolling, you want to get there. And the other thing that I found, and I'd be curious to, if you're on board with this as well, Amanda, core strength, core stability. Like I said, that muscle's in your hip. And so if your core is weak, that muscle's got to work overtime to stabilize. And that's what puts a lot of sometimes strain and stress and pull on that tendon, which then goes to the knee, which now you've got the IT band issues. So strengthen your core is good for a lot of things, but it's good for IT band as well.
Yeah, especially in women, hips. Mm-hmm. So because we have that Q angle, we are way more likely to have IT band and thus knee issues. And so if we do a lot of those hip strengthening moves, it tends to help keep everything pointed forward and not wobbling and things like that. So yeah, hips, especially for women.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what's the timeline for your injury? Are we getting close to being able to come back, or is it still a while?
Yes. So this is 6 weeks post-op. And when I saw the surgeon this week, he gave me the green light. So I have started doing some little runs and I'm now just trying to be the smart runner who doesn't try to just go back to exactly where I was. So yeah, I am on the way back and super excited. I have to say, for me, even the 6 weeks off, went better than I imagined, because I tried to really and truly use it to focus on tons of strength training and even focusing on the physical therapy. A lot of people hate physical therapy and complain about it, but for me, it's been sort of just like when I started running and I celebrated every little extra minute that I could run. Physical therapy has been, okay, today I can do this. Okay, I can do this. And using it as an opportunity to learn. So we're doing tons of moves there that are strengthening my quads and my hips in whole new ways. And so now I have those tools in my arsenal as well. And I think that's part of maybe running longer and being able to better deal with injury. Once you can kind of wrap your mind around how can I use this, it's a little bit easier to get through without going quite so crazy.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, speaking of those exercises, it also gives you variety, because I know that sometimes, I mean, even in running, like if you're only always running in the same place, it can get a little tedious. If you're always doing the same strengthening exercises, it can get a lot tedious. And so then it just becomes, you know, and I know better, and I'm even guilty of this sometimes, where it's like, oh, like I'm not gonna do freaking lunges and plie squats again today. Like I'm over it, you know? And then you skip one day, and now you skip next week, and now you haven't done it in 2 months, and that's when things start to creep up. So yeah, I mean, it's not obviously not ideal that you were injured and had to go to PT, but now you've got, like you said, more tools, more options, more things that you can do, because most of those exercises probably you can still do at your house. They probably don't require a lot of equipment. So you can add more variety to your routine, which is only going to make you stronger, fitter, better runner, all of those things.
Absolutely. And I think that was key that you mentioned too, is sort of that routine and that habit. Cause I get that question a lot. Like, how have you run so consistently for 15 years? Like, how do you just get up and do it every day, especially when you don't have a race? And that's a big part of it, is a thing in motion stays in motion. Mm-hmm. So you just have to get yourself into a routine so that it becomes habit. And then you kind of crave the endorphins, for one thing. That's absolute. But it becomes part of your day, and you feel a little off kilter if you aren't doing it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And I mean, there's nothing, no matter what your goals are, especially if your goals are to improve, whether it's a distance goal, a time goal, whatever it is, if you're trying to improve something of your running, consistency is there's no better tool to get better than to do it. So it's all about staying healthy and all about just staying in that routine and making it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of kind of consistency, but pivoting off of things just a little bit to the website, to the blog. I mean, you've been doing that for a number of years as well, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I like being the OG.
Yeah,
sounds
you
great.
Definitely are.
Yeah, so the blog is 10 years old now. I have deleted massive amounts of posts from it at this point, because I think we were probably up to like 5,000 posts. But you figure I started when blogs were still like a, you didn't tell anyone you had it.
Right. Oh, you're a blogger. Oh.
And, you know, it was like, hey, I went for a run today. My world is great. Mm. And that was it. And slowly over time, it kind of transitioned as I think I just figured out what I really wanted to say and to share. And I was actually a journalism major in college, so I always kind of wanted that writing outlet. And I started to realize that for me, it felt really good to do the research and share things that I thought would help people enjoy their running more or stay injury-free. And so my personality is in it, but I don't so much share the here's my training log, here's what I ate. There's not really much of that happening. I really just enjoy kind of the community it creates, the discussion it creates, and the ways we all kind of learn to figure out which pieces of the information out there is going to make our training better.
Yeah, there's and obviously there's no shortage of blogs, and some of them are really good, and some of them aren't. Maybe aren't as great as others. But for somebody who's maybe, you know, just getting into running, just you know, wants to share some things on a blog type of medium. From the OG's perspective, what would be some advice, some tips, some things like that for, you know, whether somebody wants to make this huge thing or not. Blogging tips for somebody who's new to the game. What advice would you have for folks who are in that position?
Sure. So I think one of the keys is to really figure out your niche. So a lot of people kind of come in and they're like, oh, I'm just going to be health and fitness. And it's so broad that it's hard for anyone to know exactly what to expect from you. And that's fine. If you just want to be able to just put your thoughts out there, cool, go for it. But if you are trying to get people to consistently read so that you can kind of form that community or to grow it, it really does help to have a focus and say, I'm going to talk, you know, predominantly about yoga, or I'm going to talk predominantly about 5Ks even. I mean, you can get super specific. And I think it does really help, because then you also have a way to focus what you're going to write about, which tends to become the second problem that most people ask right. me about is, how do you have ideas? I have a spreadsheet where I am writing down ideas constantly. So I have more ideas than I have time to write. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key, is grab yourself a notebook or make a note on your phone and just kind of keep writing down those little ideas all the time. And then when you sit down, try to maybe have a couple drafts going at a time and get yourself on a consistent schedule. So maybe you only post once a week, and that's totally fine. Maybe you're going to post 2 or 3 times a week. Also great. Mm-hmm. Just find like a consistent schedule so that you're constantly putting out something new, but without feeling overwhelmed. You know, it used to be that we were all trying to publish 7 days a week, sometimes multiple days. Mm-hmm. And it was intense and crazy. And eventually I was like, no one has time to read all this. And I think a lot of us finally realized that. We're like, wait a second. I could do better stuff if I do less and people actually have time to read it, because it appears they're doing other things besides reading my blog. So I would find kind of that schedule and that you can commit to, because it takes more time than most of us realize to sit down and really write and to maybe find a couple photos to put in there. It is definitely far more visual than it was when I started. When I started, there were no photos in what anyone posted. Mm. So now it is a matter of trying to find some good photos. And that could mean, you know, getting used to using the timer on your phone and taking some timed running photos so that you have some things to put in, just to give a little more life to your content. And thinking about your goal. So are you writing a blog because you want to share your personal experience? Maybe it's your journey to your first marathon. And so you're sharing that experience and other people can relate to it. Or are you wanting to share, you know, nutrition tips? Or, you know, are you trying to create educational content? Are you trying to create entertainment? And I think having that idea of the goal of your post is super helpful. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're putting things out there, but if you don't have a goal for it, then your reader doesn't know why they should care either.
Yeah, that's certainly something that is easy to overlook at first, but yeah, it's the, you know, having that purpose, you know, like why, for me, the podcast, obviously, why is somebody listening to, you know, the interviews are one thing, but when I do the quick tip episodes, like, why is somebody listening to this? Well, like, trying to solve a problem, hopefully, like, you know, they're trying to help somehow with a certain area of running. And yeah, the more focused you can be, the better, because it's just, you know, if somebody just searches running, guess what? Like, the runner's world is coming up. Like, so,
right.
So, you know, if you're just searching fitness, it's going to be men's health. It's going to be women's health. It's going to be something like that. So you got to narrow it down and try to, you know, both for yourself and for your readers/listeners, you know, what are you talking about so that you can be found if that's part of your goal?
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are options now, like truly using Instagram almost as your blogging platform. Mm. So people are writing much longer captions, telling their stories there, and it feels like less of a commitment to them than having to create and manage a whole blog. So there are definitely options out there and different ways to do it. Maybe you don't really like to write, but you're good at talking. So try creating some vlogs, mm-hmm. you know, just do video recordings, and see what you think, see how you feel about it. Do you enjoy it? Hate it? I think that's key too, is kind of figuring out what do you actually enjoy? Because it's really hard to stick with blogging if you decide you don't like writing.
Right, right. Yeah, that's very true. And I'm sure there's probably some term for that in the blog world. But I know in the podcast world, people call it pod fading, where like the average, there's, you know, there's more and more podcasts every day, but the number that drop out between like 6 and 12 episodes are it's substantially high. And I'm sure probably a similar type of thing with in the blog mm-hmm. world too.
Yeah. The number, it's interesting because the number of posts going out is still increasing every day, but the number of actual bloggers out there is dropping off dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's partially because it does take time to do it. And it takes time to figure out how to get found, but also because when I started, I had no idea that you could make money from it. Mm-hmm. I just started it because I wanted to do it and to connect with other runners. A lot of people now are starting with the idea of making money, which you can. I make a full-time income from it, but not on day one,
right.
Maybe not even in year one or year two. Mm-hmm. Like, so it takes a little while for any blog to really hit that tipping point. And 2 years, I mean, that's a long time to put a lot of effort into something and you still don't know for sure if it'll turn into that income. So I think blogging is definitely seeing a lot of the starting and dropping out. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, you know, that triggered in my head when you were saying that, you know, it takes a while to get to a full-time income is that, you know, like it's also then becomes a full-time job. Like it's not just something that you
yes.
do for a half an hour a night or something like that. Like it's a job now.
Yes. There were years where I worked my corporate job, which was as a consultant for e-commerce companies, and I would work 80 hours a week and I would work another 40 hours a week on the blog. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of at the point where it was starting to make money and I was like, okay, there might be something here, but it just wasn't enough to justify leaving. And so I did eventually hit a tipping point where I kind of sat down with my husband and said, all right, I can't do both anymore because I'm killing myself. So I think I want to try this. I'm at a tipping point where I either have to go all in or I have to stop. And I said, I really think I want to try this. And we looked at, you know, I went through the finances forward, backward, left and right, and decided that I could always find a way to make money. Mm-hmm. So I was going to give it a year and see what happened. And if it just didn't work, then I would find another job. Or in that case, I probably could have gone back to that job. But I think that we all kind of have to hit that point where that you either decide, okay, it only gets X amount of time because it's never going to be a full-time job, or I'm going to have to make a leap at some point and really give it a chance so that I can put all my effort, all my energy truly into it without a backup net, mm-hmm. and see if it's going to go or not.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like, especially maybe in those earlier days before going all in on it, that the blog was a lot like your running, in that the comparison I'm drawing in my head, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, like you said with your running, you love running. You don't necessarily need a race to get out there and run. And probably in those early days when you were working 60, 70, 80 hours a week at the job and then coming home and working, you know, 30, 40 hours a week on the blog, like you maybe weren't making much money, but you loved to do it. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I'm definitely, like, if you had to pick a word for me, it would be consistent. I am a consistent person. When I decide, like, I enjoy something or I get into a routine, I will do it. And in both of those cases, like, yes, I was doing the blog because I just enjoyed the discussion about running. Like, it's so ridiculous. I could revolve everything around running and I'm happy. But I enjoyed that discussion. I enjoyed seeing, you know, the challenge of growing the blog and really having that focus. And even the people I've met, I mean, most of my best friends at this point are people I have met that are runners because of the blog, mm-hmm. which is so fascinating to me. So, yeah.
As you said that, and how fascinating it is, I just thought, you know, imagine having that conversation with somebody 50 years ago. Like, yeah, I'm gonna work from home on this little device, and I'm gonna have all these connections with friends, and you know, like, they're legitimately gonna be my friends. Even I may not have ever met them, but from all around the country and the world, it really is crazy that when you put it in that kind of perspective.
Yes, so completely crazy. In 2007, I did a relay race in Colorado, and at that time, I lived in Kansas City, where 12 bloggers from around the country, like, not because of a brand, just because we found each other reading blogs, decided to come run a relay race together. And in 2007, like, you weren't having meetups and tweetups, and like, it was a very like, wait, you're going to meet who? you're gonna like hang out in a van with these people for 2 days? And it was fantastic, but it was very bizarre to most people at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, at that time, you were 12 of the 25 running bloggers that existed. So, oh, goodness. But it's, you know, it is funny, but like, I've had those same type of things where it's, you know, you're going to, I go to a race with somebody or go to a race and so, you know, you connect with somebody on Twitter and you know that they're going to be there. So you go to meet up and yeah, like my parents and even sometimes my wife, who I can always throw under the bus because she doesn't listen to the show ever. But like you mean somebody that you just know on Twitter is going to pick you up at the airport? I'm like, well, yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know. They're a runner. They're fine.
it's not creepy at all, dear. I promise. Like, they're just going to, they're meeting me at the air. Because they're local. They drove in. They're going to pick me up and drop me off at the hotel. Like, it's going to be fine. And if you're not in this online world, I don't think sometimes people realize how I don't know, how easy it is, how deep and meaningful those friendships can be from 140 characters or from comments on your blog or from, you know, people that listen to the podcast and then they you know, they contact me via email or social media or whatever. It's really a cool thing, I think.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what I consistently say about Run to the Finish, is the community is really why I do it. So yes, I make money and it's a job, but it's the emails I get that say, holy cow, I ran my first half marathon mm-hmm. because I read this and you made me actually think I could do it. Or, you know, when you meet people at a race for the first time that, yeah, you've been commenting on each other's stuff for a long time. That community is really what makes it fun.
Yeah, certainly. Likewise. And for those of you listening, email me once in a while, eh? It'd be nice to hear from you guys a little more regularly, but I suppose it's always the case. You never get enough feedback, no matter who it is, no matter who you are. You know, it's always nice to get those notes, but every once in a while, it's nice to hear from folks. So, shifting gears maybe one more time before we kind of wrap things up today, Amanda, I noticed on the website a couple different places talking about the joy of traveling. And I mean, you even just have, not recently, I guess maybe in the last year and a half or whatever, moved from down here in the swamps of Florida to the beautiful mountainous air of Colorado. So traveling has been a big thing for you and running in different places. First wave of this topic or this line of thought, what are some of the places that you've run in that have just blown your mind? That they're just like, I'm so thankful that I've been able to have the freedom of my schedule to have the, you know, to have the ability to travel and then to be able to run in XYZ location.
Oh man, that's a good question. I've been really lucky to run in some pretty cool places. I did a relay race through the countryside of Ireland, and that was pretty epic. Just, you're running in places that you normally just wouldn't have that opportunity on any kind of like normal vacation. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty outstanding. Iceland is hard to beat. It was probably one of my favorite vacations that we've ever done. Just the landscape is constantly changing and varied. And for me, being able to take in any of those places kind of on foot just sort of, I think, cements the memory because you have longer to really look at it and absorb it. And then, you know, I really will never forget that relay race I did out here in Colorado because you're running at midnight through the middle of a mountain and feeling totally safe and like it's normal.
Oh, goodness. And it's the beauty of one of the many beauties of our sport is wherever there are people, there's probably going to be races, or at least there's going to be opportunities to go run. So if you want to travel somewhere, I mean, you can stay local. That's obviously fine. But you can also go just about anywhere on this world where there's ground and there's people and you can go run and really experience it. Because like you said, I mean, when I travel easily, my favorite method of sightseeing and acclimating with the area is to run, because you just experience it different on foot than you do in a car or on a bus or anything like that.
Yep, absolutely. Whether it's in a city or countryside or whatever, yeah, it's just more enjoyable.
Certainly. So when folks are traveling for a race or traveling just to run in general, but you know, whether it's race or just a run, you know, you're going to visit family and you're going to run while you're on vacation or whatever the case might be. I've struggled with this, so I'd be curious to hear from somebody who's definitely done more travel, certainly international travel, but probably other travel as well and running associated that than I have. What are the tips or what are the best practices when it comes to packing, to preparing? Like, I am a creature of routine, so it's nice to have, you know, when I'm local, when I'm at home, like I've got, you know, the food is always the same, like, you know, the routine, the schedule, the, you know, run in the morning, because if you wait until the sun comes up, it's too bloody hot 11 months of the year down here. Like, you know, I've got my routine. So when you're out of your routine, how do you, I don't know if function is the right word, but how do you prepare yourself or what kind of tips do you have that you've maybe learned the hard way or just been lucky enough to experience the solution for when it comes to traveling and running at the same time?
I definitely still, I think morning runs are almost the requirement. So I've done a number of either press trips or different things where it means I'm out the door running before 5 a.m. because I want that run. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And especially even with family, they're probably not going to be doing a whole lot first thing in the morning. So if I can try to kind of get out the door before they're maybe up or super functional, then they don't seem to mind so much when I come strolling back in while they're eating breakfast. So the morning always kind of the key, which then tends to mean most of the time kind of traveling with a few layers. I feel like probably because we were in Florida so long, everywhere else felt cold. So I definitely traveled with layers. I'm trying to think any other like real specific tips. I always take food with me. I wonder what TSA thinks when I come through. So I tend to have a few things with me. Just feel like we snack and eat more as runners than a lot of our counterparts do. So I tend to always have some food with me. I think if you're traveling for a race, one of the important things is not just to make sure that you drink water, but that you're actually taking in electrolytes. So there's partially if you're on the plane, you're going to be a little more dehydrated. So trying to make sure you stay on top of that water. And then also when I'm on a plane, I will either make sure I have in headphones or have in earplugs, because the actual sound of the plane creates like a physical stress in your body. It's really, I have a post on it, so I can't think of all the exact information on it now, but that noise kind of translates into this stress that can make it a little bit harder when you get there to sort of get your body to relax and kind of get back into rhythm. And so if you can cut down on that, it helps tremendously. I also started traveling with a sleep mask. And just that ability to kind of make it dark when I'm ready to go to sleep has helped a lot. It took me a little bit to kind of get used to having something on my face. Right. But now that I have it, it's been so helpful in so many situations, because I think that good night of sleep is so important to make sure that when you wake up super early for that run, you don't bag it. You feel okay, and so you're actually able to get up and go enjoy it.
Yeah, and especially if it's a race that you're getting up for, because I think we all can kind of relate to the fact that most people don't sleep real well the night before a race anyway. So if anything you can do to kind of tilt the deck in your favor just a little bit, if that's a sleep mask, earplugs, whatever the case might be, but maybe all of the above. You know, it's not going to hurt you, and it may be something that certainly helps your race performance, you know, that next day.
Yeah. And definitely when I'm traveling for a race, I don't get there a ton of days before the race. I prefer to sort of be there after the race, and you know, you just pull on those compression pants under a pair of jeans and you go sightsee.
Right. And maybe, and hopefully you're with family that understands it, that first day, maybe after the race, like let's, you know, we'll do something, but let's not plan a walking tour of the city that day. Like let's kind of lay low just a little bit for at least a day, hopefully.
Yeah.
One last question before the last question. So I guess maybe two last questions. Like we said, moved from Florida to Colorado. And I know what the running scenery is like down here, because we weren't, even though we never had lined up or anything like that, we're not that far away from where you live to where I live. But I know, and I've been to Colorado, I know what it's like out there. Roads versus trails, which is your preference?
So I had never run trails until we moved to Colorado. And so I enjoy the trails, but I kind of love to run anywhere. I'm that weirdo who loves running on a treadmill. I love running on the road. Yep. I love running on the road. I love running on the trails. And I think it's because each one of them is a different experience for me, and probably a little bit of a different goal in each one. So trail running is still, especially because I came from sea level to altitude and hills, trails are a lot of fun, and I love the feeling of being in nature, but I can't yet push myself to the same paces or anything like that. And I can't sometimes let go in my mind the way I want to, like I can on a road run, because I have to be more focused on not falling off the edge of a mountain.
So you say, yeah, you got to watch out for the tree roots and the edge of the cliff when you're on the trail. So yeah, you want to be present for those runs.
Yeah. So I like all of, the only thing I don't like is the track. I will run almost anywhere but that.
Why didn't we start here? You'd rather run on the treadmill than on the track?
Yeah. Oh man, I get the best speed workouts on the treadmill.
Another one of the beauties of our sport is that obviously, you know, there's different options for different types of folks. I mean, I hate the treadmill with all, like I'll skip a run before I'll run on the treadmill, but like I am complete opposite when it comes to Speedberg. I can hammer it on the track, and nowhere else can I come close to the whatever it is, the effort, the being able to always see the finish line, always see that, you know, if you're doing 200s or 400, whatever, you always know where the end point is. Something about the track gets me going. And obviously, again, different strokes for different folks, and it's a beautiful thing about our sport.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, the track, I just mentally, it immediately like shuts me down. Whereas I've done like 20-mile long runs on the treadmill.
Ugh, you're a better person than I am. I've done like 2-mile long runs on the treadmill, and that was about enough. Anyway, as we're wrapping up here, Amanda, I always try to end with something that I call a philosophical question, which sounds like it's scary, but it's really just, or it can sound scary, I guess, but it's kind of like the opening question. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, and you can answer it however you want. So I've had folks with literally a couple of word answers. I've had folks with 10-15 minute answers, and obviously most of them are somewhere in the middle in between that range, but you can take this question and run with it and do whatever you want with it. But I just be curious. I mean, you've been running now for a while. You've been in and around the sport, obviously with the blog and you know, everything that you've been doing, your content you've created, the lifestyle that you have with being able to run. What does just calling yourself a runner, when you think like, yes, I am a runner, what does that label of being a runner mean to you at this point in your life?
Oh man, that's a good question. I think for me, it just means that I show up consistently and that I'm choosing to do this. So, you know, I don't go for a run once a month because I think about it or because it was part of my CrossFit workout for the day. I'm a runner because I show up consistently and because I'm choosing to do it and no one is making me. Mm.
Yes, yes, yes. Agree. And I'll stay out of the way and not muddy that water. It's a perfect answer to that question. So once again, guys, runtothefinish.com. Like I said, there's hundreds, maybe thousands, although like she said, there's a bunch been deleted, but I think that's a lot of us can say we've deleted some old posts because they're not relevant anymore. But all the resources, all the things you want to find out, and like I said, or like Amanda said, the ebook on all things IT band related. So if you want to check that out, runtothefinish.com is the website, at runtothefinish on all of the socials, and disruns.com/479. We'll link to some things for sure, but there's a lot more stuff on her site to link to than we could possibly link to in the show notes. But that's where you'll find all of Amanda's ways to connect with her, the blog site or the website, all that good stuff. Disruns.com/479 one more time. So, Amanda, thank you for taking the time today. Certainly appreciate it. Long time coming. Glad we were able to finally connect. Thanks for the time. Heal up, get well, and get out there and get running again. Again, thanks for the time and looking forward to staying in touch and nothing but the best going forward.
Thanks so much, Diz.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope you enjoyed the conversation between Amanda and myself. And as you can tell, she's a wealth of information, lots of good stuff, and definitely need to, if you haven't done so already, check out all of what she has going on over on her website at runtothefinish.com. But anyway, hopefully, like I said, you enjoyed the conversation. And as usual, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. Was there something that we talked about that kind of made a light bulb go on for you or made you stop and think for a little bit? If so, what was it? Let me know. For me, the big takeaway was right there at the end. And I mean, there are several things in there that could have been the takeaway. But when she said that to her, being a runner means being consistent and showing up consistently and doing the, you know, the things that she needs to do, the things that she enjoys to do as it relates to our sport. And I mean, that's it. That is the thing. You know, as I've said before, as I'll say again, if you want to, you know, reach whatever goals you have, however big that they might be, the only way to do that, the only way to make that progress and to make that a possibility is to show up, is to train regularly, is to do the little things, is to get your miles in. You know, I mean, it sounds simple and it is simple, but it's not easy. But that's the formula. Show up, be consistent, do the things you need to do to improve your health, improve your fitness, and build towards those big goals. So that was my takeaway. What was it for you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet I'm on the Twitters at DizRuns.com. You can also send me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode. And these, you know, the show notes for this episode are at DizRuns.com/479. And you can leave a comment there. And we also have links to all of Amanda's places, the website, the social medias, the IT Band ebook that we talked about. Everything's linked up in the show notes. So you can head over to DizRuns.com/479 to find all of that information. And while you're there, while you're on the show notes, you can there's a little tab at the top that says something about offerings or coaching or something like that. And you can click over to DizRuns.com/coaching and find out a little bit more about what I have to offer, what my philosophies are, what some of my clients have said about their experience working with me. And, you know, if you have any questions, concerns, or anything like that about coaching, please let me know. But like I said at the beginning, it you know, knowing what to do and knowing what not to do goes a long way towards helping to prevent injuries. Now, you can't completely 100% prevent the injuries, but you know, if you can knock the risk down by a lot, by a substantial margin, that's the name of the game to help improve that consistency. So it all ties in to what we talked about in today's episode of the show. But anyway, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Thank you guys for listening today. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and really, I really, really, really do appreciate you taking me with you wherever it was today, whether you're on the roads, on the trails, out running errands, doing some work around the house, whatever it was. Thanks for listening to the show today. Thanks for tuning in. You know, every time we put one of these out, it means a lot. So with all that being said, thank you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.